gentleman came here, and he was asked by Dr. Laporte from Edmonton to come over, and that there was two openings here for doctors. There was a Dr. Hall, he lived in Orono, and Dr. Page, that came in from Montreal. The two of them were in the same class.
What year was this, John?
In 1902. So they came over here, and Father used to drink an awful lot then, and his old man, the bottom of a trunk full of tools and everything, you know, to practice medicine. And he sold the whole thing out, he drank it all. So finally, they cut cards to who was going to go to Orono and who was going to come to Clare, New Brunswick, where there was an opening. So, and Dr. Hall was sent to Orono, and Father stayed and came up to Clare. And they hadn't seen each other until when Father died. He came over, Dr. Hall came over, and he said, no, she said, he hasn't changed a bit.
What year did your father die?
He died in 1940. And on Christmas Day, he died. We didn't have any funeral homes at the time, and he was laid out in a big house here in town on Christmas Day. And the next day, it was a funeral. And he was buried in the wrong lot at the cemetery. So the next spring, I had to go over and dig him out and put him in the right spot. There was a lot of snow. And the priest says, well, it's right there. It's where they buried him. Anyway, but he was in the wrong lot. Anyway, the next spring, I had to unbury him, and I put him in that beautiful lot.
He's down in the cemetery along the river then.
Yeah. Yeah. And
your mother
he was staying at the hotel across in that same hotel I can see from here. And he saw that nice little girl that used to be that happened to be my mother later on. And my grandmother, well, she was making quite a lot of money with her bridge, and she bought him this house here, which was owned by Dr. Sirway, which he had passed away, and the widow didn't want to keep that big house, so she bought it for them, and they lived here until in 1923. The house burned down, and all the sheds and everything, the horses, everything burned, everything. We lost everything. We were all across the river.
Is that
S-I-R-O-Y-S?
Sirway.
Yeah, Sirway, Dr. Sirway.
Yeah.
He was the first doctor ever come to Fort Kent.
And then, when did he get here, John? When was it?
Oh, he must have come here in 18.
Oh.
He must have practiced here about 40, 45 years. And then he passed away.
About the last half of the 19th century then.
Yeah.
And then your dad sort of picked up where he...
That's right. Yeah.
Tell us about your mother, how many generations that her family lived here. What was her name?
Her name was Alphonsine Long. And her mother was by that name, too. She was a Burby girl. And my grandfather died on my mother's side. He died in... Well, I just can remember him. I was about 3 years old. This was in 1913, and he died. Then my grandmother took over the bridge, and that's how she used to go and collect there a nickel every time a person would go by. And
this is the footbridge?
The footbridge, yeah.
Oh, and they had to pay a nickel?
A nickel.
Every time they went over?
A nickel and a nickel back. I had to go by, there was a gate. There was a gate up there near that big house. And at 9 o'clock, the whole thing was locked up, so all the drunks were there in class.
Did she, the family, build that bridge?
Oh,
they,
yeah.
They owned the bridge.
Oh, yeah, they built it themselves, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. And this is the only bridge that was left here in the only sort of a bridge in this country at the time.
Well, I mean, I don't know if there's any now.
Tell us what it looked like. What did it look like?
The bridge?
Hmm.
Well, it had some, we had four piers. 5, 6 piers. And then they had some large cables that was about 3 inches in diameter to hold the bridge up. And in fact, that wire is all hanging all along the in back of these houses there near the bridge there in Canada.
On the clear side.
On the clear side.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the wire is
still there.
Yeah, when they tore it down.
Did animals use that bridge, John? Did they? Horses and cows?
Oh, yes. They moved, they used to put a bag over an animal's head and then used to walk an animal back and forth. I mean, on the bridge. And the animals, there was one pier on the other side. It was quite a slab. It was quite low. And the animal would have to grab up. And you didn't know where he was. You thought he was probably flying in some cloud or something.
It must have been pretty tricky leading a big cow across that bridge.
Yeah, a cow.
Yeah, quite a few of them. When did the old bridge finally go down? Was it torn down or was the last footbridge taken down because of the...
No. When they built the new bridge here, the International Bridge, they use the footbridge to go back and forth, you know, with the workmen on the bridge.
Uh-huh.
And then as soon as they made the bridge passable, well, it was tore up by, I think the Canadian government came over and they tore it up, the footbridge. My grandmother passed away then, because my uncle, taking care of it.
Did your grandmother collect tolls there through the
life of
the...
Yes, she used to get $22,000 every year on that bridge.
That's a lot of nickels, isn't it?
Little nickels, little Canadian nickels, you know, they were so small. Oh, yes, she used to have a box. I remember that box. In fact, she had the box yesterday when I saw her, my cousin across there. She had my grandmother's box. And used to go to the gate there and put the nickel in, you know, when a person would go by. And that box, funny she still had that. And that used to be full every day, full of money. And sometimes, if they wanted to pay 50 cents, well, they'd holler. A person would holler, you know, to my grandmother to go and open up the bridge. And she'd charge 50 cents.
Oh, that's after it was closed.
Yeah, at night.
What time was that it closed?
At 9.
9 o'clock. And 50 cents she'd open it up.
Yeah.
What about customs in those days, John?
Well, custom officer, there was one. It was Arthur Edwards' grandfather was the custom officer, and he lived where Willard Jalbert is now, down here. And when you'd go by, you'd have to go to the house and report there. Of course, he never did report because he didn't give a damn if anybody would cross anything over there.
Didn't want to be bothered.
I remember once Father had brought some pigs across in Clare, and it was to cross them, and the old John Neto knew about it. He was going to cross some pigs. So we had a hired man here, Albert Dempsey. He said, "I'll cross them." Well, he took the baby carriage, and he went across, and he put the two pigs in it, and he tied them in there, and he walked the bridge, and then John Nana was there at the bridge, and he said, my, you wouldn't go in there, he says, I have crossed it, that's wrong. Just not disturbing the dog, he goes, stop crying.
I like that.
Albert was telling me about that before he passed away. He died in Connecticut, and he said, remember the time I passed the peace?
There must have been some other interesting things. Do you remember anything else that's funny?
Father had a... His old man lived in Granby, Quebec. And he had some hotels there, and he had some animals. And didn't he have a big jackass?
A big horse, not a big jackass,
though. So he gave it to Father, and Father didn't move by with the old Timisquatta Railroad. And then it went across here. So finally, we had to pass the bridge. Boy, did that jackass have a hard time to get on that bridge. Finally, they got a man ahead of him. He got the horse out, you know. They had to get two men on both sides. Because the jackass would hit the wire, you know, on the side, and he was going to go overboard. So the two men would hold the jackass right in the center, see. Because it was only 4 feet wide, you know, the runway. Anyway, they passed the jackass. We had it here a long, long time, so that's buried in the family lot.
The jackass is buried in your family lot?
Up here, where Father buried all these animals.
Oh.
He kept some horses, and he kept, in fact, once he had two large pigs.
How did he bury them, John?
He buried my mother's sheep.
Good sheets?
Oh, yes. These animals, they have to be buried in the best of everything, you know. And he had these two big hogs he had in back of his farm here. And then in the fall, late at the fall of the year, they had to be killed, you know, because he had no room for them. So he told Joe Goodwater that was working the house here. We always had some hired men, you know, working around. And he says, we'll have to get rid of him. So he says, well, he says, I'll take care of it. So he had him slaughtered. And so that night, the father comes back. And he says, the two pigs. He says, the two pigs are hanging in the shed. And the father went over and he looked at them. He says, I won't eat those. He says, we'll have to bury them. So he had to bury the two of his. They were very well fed with corn and everything at all. They were both buried. Also his cows. When a cow would die, would go up there to the...
Did he put markers on?
No.
No.
All his dogs and everything. His horses, my dogs.
Is the graveyard still there?
Well, I think they went by with a post with a high tension wires lately in back here. That used to be all woods in the back here before. I remember we used to go in the back here and we used to put some snares, you know, and catch rabbits in the wintertime. In fact, we used to go. There was no track then. They built this track here in 1916. Oh, yes, I can just remember. I was about 5, 6 years old when they built this track here. Well, we used to go across there, and it was all wilderness in there. And we used to put some snares there. We used to catch a lot of rabbits there. In fact, we used to catch some. We used to kill some partridge there too.
They John, the deer and
they
come moose down.
I remember years ago we had a big moose here in town. And he was wild. And everybody was looking at him, you know, and he got loose anyway. I mean, he got around the blockhouse there. He took off from Canada. And there was a couple Canadians across and they shot him.